Okay, we're having some fun today.
The music don't lie, and the rhythm is right. And those stars are buried, wasting on that light. It's feeling like love everywhere. But there's definitely something in the air. I can't say I know for sure.
Welcome to the Parrothead Podcast. My name is Ryan Middledorf.
I'm Patrick McDonald. This is your podcast for all things Jimmy Buffett, and I'm already in a good mood, Ryan.
I am too.
That already got me going.
I know. What
I'm
a
so
good
excited.
Song. When is the last time we heard Kenny Loggins?
Oh, it's been a minute.
It's been a minute.
It's been a minute. I mean, I listen to Return to Pooh Corner every morning, kind of to wake up.
Yeah, you do.
Kind of gets me in my mood to be me.
Yes.
You know, it's my alarm.
This is going to be a very exciting episode. It is our, incidentally, our Thanksgiving episode.
It is, and it's great because I feel like, weirdly, one of the big things we talk about is great albums to play on Thanksgiving. I
yes.
think that's just a residual, like, combined anxiety we both have. Because they're like, oh, you work on the radio or you work in podcasts. Here,
right.
Connect your phone to the aux cord.
And yes.
Have at it for 7 hours.
You're the guy. You're the go-to guy.
Yeah. So this feels like a really good Thanksgiving episode because not only is it about friends coming together and enjoying each other's company clearly through music, it's also about a great album that you can play on Thanksgiving.
Absolutely. Outside of this album, what is like a go-to album or artist that you would play at Thanksgiving dinner or during like cooking, whenever?
You know, I feel like there was a while where I would play, I mean, I'm trying to think about like the history of my Thanksgiving playlists.
Uh-huh.
I feel like I used to play like Mumford and Sons, like
oh,
in the
sure.
mid-2010s.
Yeah, uh-huh.
That felt like easy, kind of that folky kind of thing. Nathaniel Rateliff, I mean, we're going to go to him for everything.
Yes.
He's our like My Big Fat Greek Wedding Windex. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
We put him on everything. He's our aioli. He's our, you know, he's our allspice. We put him on every single thing we can. I would go with like a Nathaniel Rateliff or like a folk. I, you know, pick an artist that would be easygoing and chill and just make a Spotify radio out of him.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
So, like, yeah, Rateliff or maybe Lake Street Dive.
Okay.
I think they'd be a really good
band
for Thanksgiving.
I've gotten in the nasty little habit over the past couple years of just blasting Bruce Springsteen early in the morning on Thanksgiving, and that'll last me up until the point where I get sick of it.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
You're just doing it all
night. I'm doing it. I want a full-on Americana,
mm-hmm.
non-stop,
wow.
balls to the wall Thanksgiving.
A raucous Thanksgiving.
A raucous Thanksgiving.
That's fun. I'm not that. I think I do more of a much more of a chill kind of.
Sure.
You know.
I mean, for me, Thanksgiving is, it might be my favorite holiday.
It, number one for me.
I love Thanksgiving.
Oh yeah, it's the best.
It's so great. So I go all out, and most times the people around me don't feel the same way about Thanksgiving.
Okay. They don't like it as much.
No. So I really try and force that energy into everybody.
I think, you know, if we're talking about, let's talk about it. You know, let's talk about how different holidays apply to different love languages. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Let's break through here on the Parrothead Podcast.
Yes.
Thanksgiving is an incredible holiday for quality time people.
Yeah.
You know, people that like to just be around other people. That's me. I'm a quality time person. Thanksgiving
sure.
is great. Gift giving, if that's your love language, we know what that is.
It's for the capitalists.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I don't know what other, words of affirmation, probably Valentine's Day.
Valentine's Day, I could see that.
Physical touch, Halloween.
Yeah, because everybody likes to be touched on Halloween.
So there we go. There we go.
Perfect.
But yeah, it's a quality time holiday, and that's
it
how
is.
I feel. Well, what are you going to be doing this year for Thanksgiving?
I will be cooking I would say 90% of the meal.
Wow.
I'm doing it. I'm doing the full thing. 2 years ago, for Thanksgiving, I was sick with food poisoning, so we did not do much.
Mm-hmm.
We just ordered everything from the local market, which was very good, and they did a very good job. Last year, I believe we did something similar. And this year, I'm doing the full thing. I said last year, like, I don't want to do this, like, buy all the stuff and just lay it out. Like, I want to have the full day. I want to wake up early, do the turkey, the whole thing. So I'm cooking pretty much everything.
Incredible.
Yeah.
That's going to be fantastic.
I'm very excited. How about you? What are you doing?
I am staying around here for Thanksgiving. My birthday is the day before.
Yes.
Wednesday. And so
this is also your birthday episode.
This is my birthday episode.
Yes.
Everyone's favorite episode. My birthday is the 24th. And so I will be, I'm staying in town. I'm usually with my family for my birthday.
Yeah.
So it's been fun to not be that, but it's always right. Nice to be fun. It's like a different feeling for
of
a
course,
birthday when you get
yes.
to spend time with other people. But my family's going to Dallas. I'm not going to Dallas. I'm staying here. I'm going to go to my friend Jeremy's aunt's house.
Okay.
His family is having a big Thanksgiving, and every Tuesday morning I go pick up trash in La Cañada.
Yeah.
I do this thing called the Taka Taka Club.
Mm-hmm.
And my friend Jeremy's aunt and his mom actually also, they run the trash club.
Okay.
And so I've been going for the past like 6 months. I've become friends with it's like literally if you want to come join us, you're more than welcome to.
I might one day.
You should come.
It sounds like a lot of fun.
It's become this like really cool community where it's almost, I always feel, first of all, I sometimes feel like we are the characters in the first 5 minutes of a CSI episode that are like doing something and then we find a body,
right?
And then the credits start rolling but you never see us again.
Right.
I feel like that sometimes because I'm like, what are we going to find in these hills?
Uh-huh.
But it's, you know, 20 turnouts in the Angeles Crest, and we go Tuesday, 7:45 a.m. We meet on the first turnout, and we pick up trash for an hour, then we leave. But
yep.
I've gotten to, it's a bunch of like dudes in their late 20s and early 30s, and then a bunch of women in their 70s.
Okay.
And 60s. So we, it's just a weird combination.
That's really nice.
And we show up and we're like, what turnout has a bunch of trash today? Oh, let's go to that one. Let's go pick this up. And the older women usually hang out in the parking lot, and then the dudes usually like go down the hill and like
okay.
haul out. Like last week we found like tires and like car seats and like crazy stuff and we pulled them
out. Wow.
So it's been a really fun thing to do. But Auntie Val is the one that runs it, and she was like, oh, you have to come over for Thanksgiving. So I'm going. But I will say, I was going to make the pies this year.
Yeah.
I was going to do it. I was going to make them their pies. And I told her, I was like, oh, I usually make them from a can because my family loves the way I make the pies.
Yeah.
I just make the classic American processed pumpkin pie.
Sure.
That's what it is. That's what it needs to be. There's a certain level of Thanksgiving that has to be processed.
I agree.
I think
yep.
it's important. You
yep.
know, the canned cranberry sauce.
I was just about to say.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely. Just some of it. And then some of it can be good. And she said, oh, no, 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 no. You have to use fresh pumpkins. She was like very like, you have to.
Yeah.
And then I began to realize that the breadth of cooking that I've experienced is probably not as great as hers. And I was like, oh my God, I'm going to be so anxious.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to make these two pies and then they're all going to shit on them because they're not going to be as good as the rest of the meal. And so I got really nervous. So I said, hey, I'm actually too busy and I can't make the pies this year. And she was like, oh, no worries. Please still come. Like, would love to have you. I'm going to bring something else. But I was like, I need to. I thought, to me, that was a moment of growth.
Sure.
Because I put myself in situations where I get anxious the whole time, being like, I hope they like my pies. I hope
yep.
I didn't screw them up.
Yep.
And instead, I'm just going to go and enjoy the meal and be the person and be the brought guest.
That is a very important lesson to say that you are allowed to be a guest.
Yes.
You are allowed to be, if you are invited somewhere, the pressure's off.
Yes.
The pressure, you just have to show up.
You're what they're asking for.
Exactly.
They're just requesting your presence.
Exactly.
And anytime a guest has ever come and done anything, you know, but these also, they're just, I love them. They're wonderful, but I feel like they went shit on my pie this bad. So I just don't, I can't do it. Maybe I'll make some pies for myself and have my own little
sure.
pumpkin pies
yeah,
for the week.
Yeah, of course.
Who knows? But I'm very excited.
That's great.
I think it's going to be a really nice meal. Because also, if she's the kind of person that's like, no, 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 no canned.
Oh, I'm man. Like,
what's
You're
she about
in
to do?
For a meal.
I'm really excited.
Yeah.
I'm really excited. So,
that's great.
Yeah. Ryan, what else is going on? I mean, we got to get to this album, to be honest.
We got to get to this album. This is a very long album. Not much is going on. Yesterday, Olivia and I celebrated our anniversary.
Yes, this is also your anniversary episode.
Yes, everybody's also favorite episode. Your birthday episode, my anniversary
yes,
episode.
Yes, it is. It's the big one.
It's the big one for sure. So we went out last night. We saw Hamilton, my second time seeing Hamilton. Saw at the Pantages in Los Angeles.
Amazing.
Everybody was freaking phenomenal. The
so
cast
exciting.
Was incredible. It was a blast. Still to this day, the last time I saw it was probably 3 years ago. Still to this day, it's the best live thing I've ever seen.
Amazing. Were you crying?
I cried. I cried during, spoiler alert, his son dies.
What?
Yes.
No, it's okay. Yeah. It's okay. That happened 300 years ago.
If you, right. Yeah.
Spoiler to history.
You're right.
Do you cry in theater? Do you cry at sad moments? To me, I cry at big production moments. My body gets
oh.
so overwhelmed.
Yeah,
like
I get that too.
Like the end of the opening scene of the Lion King Broadway musical.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wept when I yes. was like seventh grade.
Sure.
Because I was like, oh, it's so overwhelming.
I get that too. Yeah. I get that too. Especially like being in that world a little bit, like a
yeah.
little bit that I have in knowing how much work goes into making something.
It's amazing.
Work properly,
mm-hmm.
like yeah, like you can just like, and when you're seeing a show like Hamilton or really anything at the Pantages, you can feel the energy that the cast is giving off.
Yeah.
So yeah, that hits me too.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm so I when you came over and told me about it. I said, okay, I'm gonna have to go.
Yes.
And so I bought a ticket. I'm going next, not this Friday, but next Friday.
Yeah. So I look forward to your review. You've never seen it before.
I've never seen it live.
You've seen it the Disney Plus version.
Disney Plus, and I'm obsessed with theater. I grew up in theater. Went to school for theater. I like, you know, I write plays. Like it's
yeah.
such a big, deep part of my life, and so it's crazy I've never gone. And I have a lot of friends that are like, I can't believe you haven't seen it live. So I was like, I'm just gonna bite the bullet and get a freaking ticket.
You got it. Do it. You're gonna love it.
I'm so excited.
Yes, let's well before we get to this album, what are you listening to?
Oh, well, wait. Let's not do that yet.
No, okay. You lead.
No.
No.
I just want to do a little bit of Buffett news for us.
Great. I love that.
Because we have some Buffett news and then we can go into the music and then we can keep rocking and rolling.
Keep going with the music.
Keep going with the music.
Keep going with the music.
Okay, some hot points. Jimmy Buffett surprised the crowd performing Margaritaville in Buffalo, New York for Escape to Margaritaville.
That's very cool.
This weekend in Buffalo. Hot stuff. There was something we talked about on our radio show this week that I thought was so funny. There was some signs that were ripped out of the screens on some fencing going up in Fort Myers Beach.
Yes.
There were signs that said like Surf's Up Beach Club or something like that. And behind it, they're demolishing the site that a future Margaritaville is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody came with a box cutter and cut a huge circle out of these signs and stole this. Which is crazy.
I don't get it.
I want to say more explicitly to parrot heads, like, don't we sell this? Like, you don't have to buy rip screens off of.
You can buy full, like, large sized flags
yeah.
of this,
and it's like going to be frayed, and it's not going to look good. I don't know if you're going to frame it,
or maybe
know.
You're just not a fan, and you just wanted to cut it out.
Yeah, but if you weren't a fan, you wouldn't make a perfect circle.
Sure, you would like damage it.
Yeah, you would like rip it apart and you would take it. And it's, I just think it's crazy.
It doesn't make any sense to me. As I said on the radio show, they're punks.
They're punks.
They're punks.
They're punks. I wanted to bring that up here because I wanted to talk a little bit about it.
Yeah.
If you listen to us, bring it back.
Yeah,
go tape
it
back
it
on
back.
The fence. Why did you do that? I just think it's crazy. And then we almost got an email.
Oh boy.
Just so exciting. I think this is a newer Parrothead podcast head.
Oh.
Which I'm very excited. We're happy to have you. Dave Krause.
Dave.
His photo on Gmail is a really gorgeous fisheye lens photo of a beagle.
Aww.
And I hope it's his. Dave, I hope that's your beagle. He said, hey guys, Just finished listening to the most recent podcast. It took some digging, but I found this saying Vince Melamed is the narrator for Gypsies in the Palace.
Vince Melamed,
and I feel like we've said that before.
That name sounds familiar to me, too.
This might be a conversation we had 3 years ago
as
well.
It might be, yes.
And this is how you know we're getting older, or we just are kind of saying the same thing. And he said, I always thought it was Waylon Jennings who did the narration on Dukes of Hazzard, but it turns out I was confusing him with Will Jennings. Love the podcast and the Friday Night RM show. Dave from Maine. Shout out Dave from Maine. Thank you for that information. Vince Melamed, I know that the house I currently live in, there was somebody named Melamed who owned this house.
Yeah, there's a lot of history here in this cottage.
Yeah. This is this was built in 1929.
Yeah.
This property. And then I don't know when this little cottage was built. But this, to me, makes me feel like Vince Melamed might have lived here. And if he did...
Would that be the craziest thing?
Here's the thing. If he did... And I know that he owned the house in this time period, mm-hmm. and he built this guest house, and he used this guest house as a studio.
Wow.
We could be sitting where he recorded the audio for Gypsies in the Palace.
That would be, you have to do some, I'm sure you could figure out.
That would be like the craziest coincidence of all time, right?
You should do some research.
Okay.
You should do some serious research.
Okay, I need to do some research.
Mainly in terms of ghost hunting.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm going to find a lot of murders, I think, yeah. is what I'm nervous about. But come on, think about that.
That could be crazy.
What if that's real? I don't know, we'll figure that out. If anybody knows my exact address and wants to do some research.
I bet if you pull up these floorboards, you find like an old like tape recorder or something like that.
I don't want that. I don't want to do that. I'm taping these floors down more. Okay, Ryan, what are you listening to? We're doing it now.
Okay, here we go. I'm going to ask you to pick one of two things. Kacey Musgraves or Dolly Parton?
Ooh, I'm going to go with Dolly.
I'm glad you said Dolly.
Okay.
Okay, this is something that I just heard recently, and I feel like it's something that you can put on at Thanksgiving. Say if you have a crazy aunt that says, hey, let's do Molly.
Okay. Everyone's been through that experience.
I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure
of it. So this is, let me pull it up here. This is a remix of Jolene. This is the Destructo remix.
Oh my God. Okay.
And this is what I would say to throw on at Thanksgiving when things start to get a little wild.
Turnt.
Yeah, when things get a little turnt.
All right.
Here we go. Jolene, the Destructo remix.
Okay.
I'm in love with this.
So funny.
I mean, I can just see a family just going wild and tripping
just
out
wild.
And just diving into this.
I imagine somewhere in Florida somewhere, somebody just listened to this podcast and listened to that and unsubscribed to us forever.
Oh, I'm sure. Which, you know what, is fine.
They're done with us. They were like, we can't do Techno Jolene. We can't do it. I'm done with everything else.
Oh, I'm a big fan of it.
I love that you love that.
Big fan. I don't know why.
That gets me dancing. I mean, I couldn't stop moving. I literally started.
Yeah,
you know?
It's impossible not to love it.
It's great.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
So good.
Wow. Ryan, what I'm listening to this week, I sent you one, but I want to do another one.
Okay, great.
So Caitlin Tarver is a really great musician. She's had a couple albums out, but she just released a new album. She is the sister of Drew Tarver, who we've had on our podcast like 5 years ago.
And wife of David Blaze, who I used to work with.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a family affair here.
Family affair. Caitlin's great.
She released an album that I would describe as the album that we all were hoping that Kacey Musgraves would release.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And didn't release. Her new album is very different. It's very techno-y. It's her 808s and Heartbreaks. It's very intense. And this album that Caitlin released is so well produced and good. And I mean, not that Kacey's isn't. I know that sounds like I'm comparing. But this one is that kind of like down home, slightly southern, but like emotional and kind of connective. Actually, I'm gonna send you So I was gonna play one song. I've listened to this whole album. This is a hard album to parse out because I just listened to it in one fell swoop. But I want to play the last song on the album. It's called When I Leave Home.
When I Leave Home.
And it's just really sweet and wonderful. And Caitlin Tarver, Katelyn.
Yes.
We love her. And her album is blowing up. I think in the first weekend it got over like a million streams on Spotify.
Oh my gosh.
So it's like really, really, really doing
well.
And
huge.
It's exciting.
Okay, let's check it out.
Great Thanksgiving music, this album.
Love it.
It always hits me when I'm leaving. This overwhelming sense of all I got. We sat around until the evening, making fun of how we used to talk. And ooh, got a life that I love going back to. Ooh, sometimes I wish that I didn't have to. I know that I'll cry as soon as I say goodbye. There's already a lump in my throat. I'm always surprised after all of this time, after so many years on my own. I don't wanna go. I always get this way when I leave home. I've always felt a little guilty. I think it kinda breaks my father's heart that we live in different cities, and I never built a house in the backyard. And ooh, got a life that I love going back to. Ooh, would it mean much if I didn't have you? I know that I'll cry as soon as I say goodbye. There's already a lump in my throat. I'm always surprised after all of this time, after so many years on my own. I don't wanna go. I always get this way when I leave home.
Oh boy. Oh boy.
It's tough, yeah.
It's a song specifically for people that moved away. There are a lot of people that stayed home and stayed in their hometowns, which is totally fine and totally nice. But there is a specific feeling that only people who moved away understand, and this song's about that.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, a lot of her music is about such specific moments. She has a song called All Our Friends Are Splitting Up, and it's about it's, you know, her and a couple being like, I don't know if we're connecting and all of our friends are splitting up. And it's just like really contemplating deep, serious stuff. And like, her album is so fantastic.
That's great.
So I highly recommend it. It's great writing. It's great. It's really well produced. And it's just like a beautiful album.
And she's good people.
She's good people. We can vouch for her personally.
Yes, that's great.
Caitlin Tarver.
Awesome.
So yeah, that's great.
That's awesome.
But speaking of good people.
Yes.
We got Jake Shimabukuro, Jake and Friends
Jakey
on this album.
Jakey boy.
Oh, yeah. I'm so, so excited.
We have been talking about and teasing this album for, I want to say, a few months now.
We have, ever since we got little snippets of it.
Little snippets. At first, I thought, like, oh, cool, he released a single with, I believe it was Willie Nelson and Moon Taxi.
Moon Taxi, yeah.
Like, very cool. But then more stuff started coming out. And I remember I listened to an interview on Radio Margaritaville maybe 6 months ago, I want to say. It was with Jake, and he said that he recorded something very special with Jimmy that would be coming out later in the year. And I was like, oh, I wonder what that could be.
Mm-hmm.
And we have what that is in this album.
And it's so good.
It might be my favorite version of that particular thing.
It's pretty incredible.
It's really
great. I can't wait to get to it. Yeah, this is such a fantastic album. It's so many genre-spanning duets, you know,
yes.
Like country, kind of Broadway folk.
Yep.
We have, like, alt people. We have, like, all sorts of musicians that came together with Jake playing his fucking ukulele, rocking and rolling.
I would say we now have our trop rock, golf and western version of Santana.
We absolutely. Jake Shimabukuro is Trop Rock Santana. That's it right here.
You
coined it.
I think
this
so.
This is it.
I think so. I'm not standing down.
Incredible. No, and I don't think anyone's going to argue with that.
This album is incredible. There's so much to love here. Shall we just dive into the first song?
Let's do it. And I don't even know how much we can say other than we love all these songs.
Yeah, it's just a terrifically made. You can tell, like, a lot of love and thought went into this.
Yeah.
It's really, really great. So the first song we have is A Place in the Sun featuring Jack Johnson with Paula Fuga.
Mm-hmm.
So let's check it out.
One, two, one, two. Like a long, lonely stream, I keep running towards a dream. Moving on, moving on, moving on.
Like a branch on a tree, I keep reaching to be free. Moving on, moving on, moving on.
There's a place in the sun where there's hope for everyone. My poor restless heart's got to run. There's a place in the sun, and before my life is done, got to find me a place in the sun.
So good. Sets the perfect tone, I think, for the rest of this album. And Jack Johnson, Paula Fuga, we've been playing them a lot on Radio Margaritaville. She's blowing up.
She is blowing up. She's so talented. She's a Hawaiian singer, ukulele player too, right?
I believe she, yeah, and she just signed with Brushfire Records, Jack Johnson's label.
Whoa.
Yeah. So she's doing some great stuff.
That song that we play on there, it's Jack Johnson, Ben Harper,
yep,
and Paula Fuga.
If ever.
Yeah. That's a really great song, too. But all these three together, I mean, these are Hawaii natives.
Yeah.
All three of them.
Yeah.
So it's really, really amazing. I mean, he is just so incredible. Jake is like so... I haven't heard a musician play any instrument the way he plays it. He has such a personality to his
yeah,
playing.
And it's very soft, and he's not like stepping on anybody's toes, right? Like when Jake wants you to like really hear him and hear the ukulele, like it comes through for sure. And we'll listen to one particular song on this album where that is like 100% accurate.
Oh
but,
my god. Oh my god.
Oh my god.
What's happening to my mouth? Can somebody who listens to this podcast prescribe what's happening to my mouth sometimes? Who did I say? Oh, Kermit the Frog.
Kermit the Frog.
What's happening to my mouth?
Who knows?
Let me know. Yeah, this next one is with very, very, very popular guitar player, Sonny Landreth,
yeah.
Sunny Days Ahead. There's a few guitar ukulele kind of centric songs.
Yes.
Some instrumentals on this, mm-hmm. and all of them are unbelievable.
Yeah.
So let's give this one
really terrific.
Yeah.
Really beautiful, nice song. Perfect for Thanksgiving, I would say.
I think this is truly the Thanksgiving album of Thanksgiving albums.
I think you're right.
Put it on, no one's going to have a problem with it, and then someone's going to be like, wait, is this? Hmm? Is this? Hmm? Like, they're going to, like, be excited about different people.
Yep,
yep. And you'll get the uncles, you'll get the aunts, you'll get the cousins even.
Yeah, everybody. Even the cousins.
And we all know how hard it is to get the cousins in on the playlist.
I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
This song, Sunny Days Ahead, is spelled Sunny, like Sonny Landreth, S-O-N-N-Y. What is a song that you could insert Patrick into?
Oh, that's interesting. I mean, my first one I thought of was like Patrick Kadabra.
Okay,
you know?
Yeah. That's good.
What about Ryan?
I would say trying to reason with hurricane season.
Oh, right. Great. Ryan to reason with hurricane season.
Or T-R-Y-A-N.
T-R-Y-I.
Yeah.
You're going to keep the word trying.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I got to just force Patrick in there. Sorry we can't all have ones that are already in words.
Yeah, sorry, buddy.
It's okay.
This next song featuring Ziggy Marley, All You Need Is Love.
I love this one.
It's so good.
I played this one yesterday for two of my friends who were getting married, and I said, you could put this in your wedding. They didn't respond. But
okay, Patrick.
Okay, cool. We're actually planning this, and it's actually really hard, so don't tell us what to do.
All You Need Is Love. Here we go.
Yes.
There's nothing you can do that can't be done. Nothing you can sing that can't be sung. Nothing you can say, but we can learn to play the game. It's easy. There's nothing you can make that can't be made. No one you can save that can't be saved. Nothing you can do but learn to be you in time. It's easy. All you need.
Listen to that.
It's so good.
like, take a song like All You Need Is Love, maybe one of the most over-covered songs of all time, and turn it into something that feels new and vibrant and important. What a great cover.
Truly made it its own. And yes. It's also like combining the personalities, you know, putting Jake Shimabukuro on Ziggy Marley together on a track to sing a Beatles song.
Yeah.
It's like, cool.
It's really cool.
It's like exciting. I mean, one of the most exciting things to me about music and art is the transcendence of it and the way it can go from culture to culture and place to place and person to person, and it changes the meaning of that piece.
Yeah.
So, and the Beatles, I think, are... they're like the number one people who did that because yes. The music was so translatable and referable and whatever. So it's very cool.
Amazing. We listened to Why Not at the top of the show. So I'm going to move to Smoke and Strings.
Ooh.
Featuring Billy Strings. And this song, another instrumental, is crazy.
Okay. I can't wait for this one. This one's fire.
It's ridiculous.
It's so good.
So I might skip ahead a little bit once we start listening, but let's start it out. This is Smokin' Strings featuring Billy Strings.
Nice.
It's a 7-minute song, by the way.
I love this one.
I know.
Ugh.
Goodness. Skip ahead a little bit.
Here we go. Here we go. Thank you.
song to zone out to while you burn the stuffing. This is the song.
This is number one. I mean, holy shit.
God. Billy Strings, I was just doing some research, taking a page out of your book.
Oh.
While we were recording.
This new thing we do called research.
That's
here.
Right. This guy, 29 years old.
Shut up.
29 years old.
Oh, my God. And he's half as accomplished as us.
No. From Lansing, Michigan. He's only been active since 2013. He is a Grammy Award winner, played with a bunch of different artists.
Wow.
And he's been named like one of the top country artists in the world, one of the top bluegrass artists to watch. We got to look into this guy more.
We got to do our own Buffett buddies.
That's right. That yes.
buddy of Jake's.
Yes.
So he's a Buffett buddy. I found an interview with Jake Shimabukuro, and he said I want to read this thing that he said. He said, "I love how the album turned out. It was so organic. It's a very honest record. I think with the exception of two tracks, everything else was recorded live in the studio. All the recordings that on that record are full takes. Some of them are the first take, like the Billy Strings one."
That's the first take?
Sometimes it's that first attempt. There's a certain energy. There's a sense of discovery, and there's no pressure because you think you're just recording. So I think you end up doing things and going for things you wouldn't necessarily try if you knew the red light was on.
That was a first take? That 7-minute song?
That's the first take of that. Unbelievable.
That's insane.
Incredible.
Wow.
I mean, it's shocking. It's so, so, so good. Yeah, I don't even know what to say. We should go to the next one.
This next one
is one of my favorites on the album.
Really good.
I played this song a couple weeks ago as my song that I... was listening to that week.
Yeah.
This is Lucas Nelson with Find Yourself.
Let's
and I love this.
Lucas Nelson on the radio show. Lucas Nelson, Promise of the Real. Of course, Willie Nelson's son.
Yeah.
Really incredible.
He's so talented. I love his voice.
I do too.
Similar to Willie Nelson, but it's got like a higher pitch to it.
Uh-huh.
He's so talented.
Really talented.
I love his vibe. And that vibe, that song, I feel like he leaned into making it another genre.
Mm.
Because that version, the real version, is him and Lady Gaga.
Right.
And it's like way soulful, like strutting, like, you know, and this one's like so clippy and almost reggae-esque.
Yeah.
Which is so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that one too. That's great. Next we have On the Road to Freedom featuring Warren Haynes.
Another one of the really, really incredible
guitar
ukulele duets.
Instrumental. Mm-hmm.
Pretty incredible.
Chill. It's perfect.
It's so, so, so good. I was just reading about, you know, what he was saying about making this album. And, you know, we're not up at this track yet, but he basically first did this with Willie Nelson. The first phone call that his producer, Ray Benson, made was to Willie Nelson. He said, 2 months later, we were in the studio with Willie Nelson recording the first track. I could not believe it. It was such a blur. It set the momentum, gave us credibility. I'm really blown away that it all came together. But
that's
it was just
amazing.
That was the first one, and then it built from there.
Yeah.
But this guy, next, this new upstart that he gave a chance with.
Yeah. This is a very special song, I'm sure, to both Jimmy and Jake. Jimmy really put Jake kind of on the map.
Yeah.
By inviting him to play with the Core Reefers for a number of tours, and I believe still plays, you know, certain dates and stuff like that.
Yeah.
In the interview I listened to with Jake, Jake talks about this first performance that he had with Jimmy, and Jimmy was doing a show in Hawaii, and I guess the night before or a few nights before had seen Jake play at like a bar or something, or had heard his music somewhere.
Yeah.
And Jimmy reached out to Jake's manager or producer or whatever and said, hey, does Jake want to come to the show? And Jake was like, yeah, of course. See Jimmy Buffett? Of course I want to see Jimmy. But he'd never seen Jimmy Buffett before. And he only figured out that day that Jimmy wanted Jake to come play with them on stage.
That is so crazy.
Just crazy. And he said, like, after that, like, things just blew up for him.
Incredible. I mean, as they should.
Yes.
And yeah, this version is, you know, he's doing Come Monday.
Yeah.
It's Jimmy and Jake doing Come Monday. Buffett's first hit.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really cool to hear it together. And I want to talk about it because I think he changed a little bit up for it.
I think he did. And
we'll talk about
it.
Yeah. I'm so excited to listen to this.
This is great. So Jimmy Buffett, Jake Shimbokoro, Come Monday.
Heading up to San Francisco for the Labor Day weekend show. I got my hush puppies on. I guess I never was meant for glitter rock and roll. And honey, I didn't know that I'd be missing you so. But come Monday, it'll be all right. Come Monday, I'll be holding you tight. I spent four lonely days in a brown alley haze. I just want you back by my side. Yes, it's been quite a summer. Rental cars and westbound trains. And now you're off on vacation. Some things are hard to explain. And darling, I love you so. That's the reason I just let you go. But come Monday, it'll be alright. Come Monday, I'll be holding you tight. I spent 4 lonely days in a brown LA haze, and I just want you back by my side. I can't help it, honey, you're that much a part of me now. Remember that night in Montana when we said there'd be no room for doubt? I hope you're enjoying the scenery. I know it's pretty up there. Hey, we can go hiking on Tuesday. With you, I can walk anywhere. California has worn me quite thin. I wanna see Waikiki once again. And come Monday, it'll be alright. Come Monday, I'll be holding you tight. I spent 4 lonely days in a brown LA haze. I just want you back by my side. I spent 4 lonely days in a brown LA haze. I just want you back by my side.
Holy moly.
Wow.
It's so crazy, like, because I think the way he recorded it originally is he emphasizes, this is really granular, but mm-hmm. the way he emphasized, come Monday, and then in this one he goes, come Monday, it's like,
yeah,
he does a different rhythm, and I was like, wow, he released that song 47 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and he's like, let's change it up.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah.
Like, it just like constantly working and changing and exploring that kind of stuff is amazing.
And I've also noticed that the older Jimmy gets, the more he goes for the down notes versus the high notes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which I really like.
It's nice. It's really, really cool.
It puts a nice little like period
yeah.
on it. Like in Songs You Don't Know My Heart, that's like everywhere in that album.
It's so great. But he hit the right notes here.
He hit the right notes.
And even the high ones, the right high ones,
yeah.
he went for it.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
But I, like I said at the top of the show, I feel like this version of Come Monday is my favorite.
Wow. Big.
I really.
There's a lot of versions of Come Monday.
A lot of versions. I really like this one.
It's really, really good.
Really good.
It's so solid.
Yeah.
It's such a great track, and it's so simple, it's so mm-hmm. sweet, mm-hmm. it captures the sweetness of that song.
Yeah,
it's just because I think it's with just stripped down instruments, it's just like me and you, like it feels like a very personal,
right,
you know, back and forth where you're really talking to someone.
Yes,
you know, you
I
can
agree.
Visualize that person.
Terrific.
I can't ever get over that lyric. Remember that night in Montana when we said there was no room for doubt? Like, what was that?
Oh, to be a fly on the wall.
What
in
is the specific no room? Is that like we're committing to each other?
I think
like,
so.
We're in all the way.
Yeah,
we're in.
No room for doubt.
There's no room like, for doubt.
No, with us too.
You and I.
Yeah.
That one night we had in Montana, we said there's no room for doubt in this podcast.
I knew you were wondering why I took you all the way to Montana.
Yeah, we had just passed the state line. We're still in the car.
Yes, and you're like, why are we here?
Yeah, and it was 5:55. I don't even think it was night. You were saying it was nighttime. You were really pushing it.
It really was.
What's up next, Ryan?
Next, we have something.
Okay. Well, what's the song?
It's something.
Okay, well, what is it?
Patrick, it's something.
I'm not doing this.
It's featuring Vince Gill and Amy Grant.
Another great Beatles cover. We know Jake is huge into the Beatles.
Loves the Beatles.
So I love this version as well.
Let's check it out.
attracts me like no other lover. Something in the way she woos me. I don't want to leave her now. You know I believe in her. Somewhere in his smile he knows that I don't need no.
So good, stripped down, and again, similar to All You Need Is Love, it makes a Beatles song feel new and different and special.
I like that. I feel like every Beatles song, he picked somebody that you wouldn't typically hear do the Beatles.
Yeah.
And then he played the ukulele with them. I think it's like right. really, he like is really like breaking some molds, and I think that was like, that feels like the MO of Jake Shimabukuro, where he's like, I'm going to do something that people wouldn't expect me to do, but it's going to work.
Right.
And it feels like he's constantly doing that. And he's also like making, he's translating what the ukulele can be and how people see a ukulele.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. He's amazing. We love him.
We love him.
Up next, we have one of my favorite newer groups, Moon Taxi.
Yes.
Do a cover with Jake, or a song of theirs with Jake, or maybe it was a Jake song and then they did a version. I don't know.
It's a Moon Taxi
song.
Moon
Taxi song that then Jake also. Yeah, yeah, okay, yeah. This is Too High, which we played on the show before.
Yeah, and I love this beginning ukulele strumming.
Oh,
from
yeah.
Jake. It's hot stuff.
When you feel the world around you spinning out of control. To bring you out of the cold, but you don't ever have to hide what you really feel inside. So put them up too high. We can walk together with our hands up in the sky. So put them up tonight. We can come together, we won't give up on the fight.
So good. What band wouldn't want something like this?
I know.
You know?
Truly. Who would you want to see that isn't on this album do a track with Jake Shimabukuro?
Oh my gosh. Ooh. Nathaniel.
Always. I mean, we'll say Nathaniel's the default for us.
Yes.
We love Nathaniel Raylan.
I was going to say Phoebe would also be great.
I was going to say Phoebe was my other default.
Okay, yeah, there are two defaults. Let's pick someone way out there.
Okay. Someone we wouldn't expect.
Yeah. What would be like a real wild card for Jake? Like, could you see like like a version of Enter Sandman?
Oh, yeah, with Metallica?
Yeah.
Oh, that would be really, really good. Uh-huh. I bet he would crush that.
Him and Kirk?
Oh, yeah. What about like a version of Wait For It with Leslie Odom Jr.
Okay.
From Hamilton?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. A full ukulele Hamilton.
Yeah, ukulele CD. Hamilton. I would be super down
yes,
for that.
Yes, absolutely.
I'm trying to think of my other faves. Who else I would love to hear him play with?
I just want to see an album like this called Jake and Not Friends.
Jake and Enemies.
Jake and Enemies.
Him and Coldplay?
Oh, sure.
I could see that happening.
Yeah. Actually,
Casey, yeah.
You were about to say what I was going to say.
Casey released that version of Fix You.
That's what I was going to play if you had picked Casey this morning.
That's so funny.
Yes.
What an alternate reality we'd be living in.
I know.
Everything will be different on this podcast. We might not even be talking at this point.
No, are we variants?
We're variants. Who's next?
Next, we have, drum roll please.
That's my drum.
This is A Day in the Life featuring John Anderson.
Oh, yeah, from Yes. Prog rock, progressive rock.
Yes.
Yes. Another one of those Beatles collaborations. I mean, this guy is a little closer. He's British, at least.
Right.
But not a Beatle.
Not a Beatle.
Very, Yes is very different than the Beatles.
You can say that about most musicians.
Yeah, there's only about four you couldn't say that about.
Yeah.
And five, questionably.
Yes. So this is A Day in the Life.
About a lucky man who made the grade. And though the news was rather sad, well, I just had to laugh. I saw the photograph.
Session musicians during these recordings too are really, really good.
So good.
It's great. I love this. I love his voice, John Anderson.
It's haunting.
Yeah, it's
this
haunting.
One is haunting because in Yes he's always like in the mistake, like, you know, whatever. Yeah. That's my impression of progressive rock. Which really a glass houses situation for someone on a Jimmy Buffett podcast to make fun of. Any other genre of music?
Uh-huh.
But that's...
And the mountains and the misty dogs and the monsters and the creatures.
Okay, now let's hear your Bjork.
My Bjork?
Yeah.
In the monster and the canyon
soil. It's pretty good.
Hey, you should see the fingers that go
along. Yeah,
you
do
with
like
it.
These like kind of dinosaur fingers.
Little, little boy going into the store.
That's my Bjork.
Very, very.
Let's hear your
good.
Bjork, Ryan. There you go. That's another one for the Jake and Enemies, Bjork.
Oh, I think that one would be impossible even for Jake.
Yeah, that would be tough. I mean, but I would listen. I listen to a full album.
Oh,
I think
yeah.
They would actually crush it.
You're probably right.
He can
right.
do anything.
Go now. Patrick, go now.
Okay, where?
Anywhere you want, really.
Okay, I'm going to go. With my Uncle Michael McDonald. I do have an Uncle Michael.
Do you?
I have an uncle named Michael McDonald.
Any relation to this Michael
not
McDonald?
Not at all.
No.
Not the same one.
Not the same one.
He's gotten in arguments with people where people, he goes like, I'm Michael McDonald. People are like, you are not Michael McDonald. He's like, I am Michael McDonald.
I love if you just meet someone at like a party or in passing or whatever. Hi, Mike. And then you just yell, no, you're not.
No, you're not. It's like, well, I'm not your Michael McDonald.
I am a Michael McDonald.
Yeah, and many people would say I'm the Michael McDonald.
Yes.
You know?
Uh-huh. It just depends on who you ask.
Exactly. So shout out to my Uncle Michael.
Yes.
Who's not featured on this track.
No. Okay. So you say.
I think you would know if I was related to Mike McDonald.
I don't know.
I'd sound like this. I talk like this all the time. That's not even what he sounds like.
Very good.
I talk like this.
I think that's better.
Okay. Hi. Welcome to the Parrot Head Podcast.
God. I don't think we would last.
I'm surprised this Michael McDonald lasted. Okay.
Here we go. Let's check it out.
If you want to go, oh, yeah.
We're spot on.
Go now. Go now, go now. Cause you don't wanna hear me cry. Oh, darling, darling, what do you intend to do now?
Pretty great.
It's so great.
Yeah.
It's so heartfelt. This is a Paul McCartney and Wings song.
Mm-hmm.
And it just translates so well.
Yeah.
There's something so sweet about the ukulele, you know, like it, and there's something tender and vulnerable about it.
Yeah.
That I love.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember when I was a kid, I tried to play the ukulele and just couldn't.
I have a ukulele here somewhere amongst the piles of trash. It's somewhere in here, and it's hard.
It's a
hard
really difficult instrument.
Yeah, yeah.
It's really very, hard. Very tough. Similar like to mandolin.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Really terrific. I love that song.
Yeah. It's really, really. If there was like, there's something so feminine about a mandolin, like what would be the, there's something so, think, something so, about a ukulele.
Something so tricky about a ukulele.
That's good. There's something so silly.
Yeah, you can't rhyme ukulele with anything.
You could also do the feminine mandolin. There's something so me about a ukulele.
Oh, right. Okay. Something so... Nope.
We'll come back to it.
Okay.
This is a wrapping paper featuring Ray Benson and Asleep at the Wheel.
Let's check it out.
All
wrapping
right, let's do it.
Paper.
This isn't the Christmas one.
Oh, not yet.
Not yet.
Wrapped in paper in the gutter, moving slowly as the wind on the sea.
Faces calling, waves moving.
In your picture on a wall of a house of old times.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Wandering sadly in the city, feeling pretty. Down and out and making love to you on the shore.
Ruined buildings, faces empty.
In the picture as I gaze ahead and don't see.
That they're calling, that they're calling.
Wondering sadly.
Wrapping paper.
That's a good one.
It's a good one. It's a nice little tune.
It's really, really good. You know, he's so talented, but he says that he doesn't play any other musicians except, or any other instruments except a ukulele.
Really?
Yeah, I was reading an interview. He said, if I'm playing at a hall or something, there's usually a piano backstage. I'll go there and I'll sit at the piano and just play. I don't know how to play piano, but I just love hitting the notes and just kind of trying to form some chords and some sounds.
That's kind of where I'm at with piano.
Yeah, me too.
I can play guitar and I can play bass. I cannot play piano.
I really got to update you on how
Come Monday
is coming.
Yes.
On my keyboard.
I mean, hey, that might be a close second favorite version of the song for me.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good stuff.
It's been probably 3 years since we've had an update on your Come Monday.
Well,
on the piano.
And I've still been working on it, so I can't wait to show you.
Oh boy. Okay, pressure's on now.
Yeah, you're going to be impressed.
If you've been working nonstop for 3+ years.
You're going to see it and you're going to say, wow, he's clearly been working on this for 3 years nonstop.
Amazing.
I can't wait.
Great.
This next one, the reason this whole album came together, the one that got him the cachet.
That's right.
This is Stardust featuring Willie Nelson. I love this track.
I do too. This one is maybe my favorite on the album.
It's so, so good.
It's terrific. Let's check it out.
And now the purple dust of twilight time steals across the meadows of my heart. High up in the sky, the little stars climb, always reminding me that we're apart. You wander down the lane and far away, leaving me a song that will not die. Love is now the stardust of yesterday, the music of the years gone by. And sometimes I wonder why I spend the lonely nights dreaming of a song, and the melody haunts my reverie, and I am once again with you. When our love was new, and each kiss an inspiration, but that was long ago. And now my consolation is in the stardust of a song, and beside the garden wall, when stars are bright and you are in my arms, the nightingale tells this fairy tale of paradise where roses bloom, though I dream in vain. In my heart, it always will remain my stardust melody, the memory of love's refrain.
Come on.
It's so incredible.
So great.
It's so tender.
Yeah.
Willie hasn't lost any of his passion or prowess.
Nope.
I mean, he's a bucket list musician to see in concert. I've got to see him in concert.
He would be incredible. I think that'd be just like a life-changing, memorable experience.
Definitely.
He's incredible. And so nice, too, to see his son on this album as well.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I mean, everywhere I see him and his son pop up, I think that's so amazing.
Amazing.
It's so cool.
Really terrific.
This next one, very exciting. I was reading about how Jake Shimabukuro's mom is a huge Bette Midler fan.
Oh.
So when he got to play this for her, she couldn't believe that they were on the same track.
How sweet.
It just feels really, really cool. And I'm so excited to play this because it is so beautiful. This is Bette Midler and Jake Shimabukuro with The Rose.
Some say love, it is a river that drowns the tender reed. Some say love, it is a razor that leaves your soul to bleed. And some
shit.
Holy shit.
And here's what I'm going to guarantee you. If you use this for your Thanksgiving album, you put this on, the quiet aunt or grandmother or a cousin.
Even a cousin
who hasn't said anything, the entire album is going to perk up and say, wow, that's good.
That's a good song. the 6-year-old has been on his Nintendo Switch the entire evening.
Yeah. He's going to break it over his knee, and he's going to listen to this song.
Amazing. Here's what I want, and I want this badly, and I want somebody to make this happen.
Okay.
I say 3 nights at the Greek Theater,
okay,
or Hollywood Bowl, or another like a Pantages.
Okay.
I want a Jake and Friends weekend.
Amazing.
Where every night he has, like, you know, 5 different people, 10 different people, and does songs with them.
I think that would be incredible. And what you just said to me makes me think about how this is his first album of friends.
Yes.
Like, these are his first friends.
I know. How crazy is that? What are we going to get next, Obama? Come on.
It's going to be Obama reading his inauguration speech.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Obama, Putin.
Putin, come on. Yeah, next is just going to be all political figures.
Political, yeah. Elizabeth Warren.
Yes.
Rudy Giuliani is going to read
for
the Grinch.
Bernie.
Yes. Yeah, Bernie.
Rudy Giuliani reading the Grinch.
Yeah. He's going to do "You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch."
Oh, boy. Cannot wait for that one. Speaking of Jake in politics, he was just appointed to an art fellowship.
He was with the White House.
Yes.
He's on tour right now, too. We should mention that. I mean, look, everything's coming up Chimabakoro right now. Let's be honest right here. One second. Let me find this. Yeah, Jake is on tour. He is rocking and rolling right now. I'm going into my Radio Margaritaville. he is absolutely available to be seen if you're around. Unfortunately, not to us.
Okay,
Christmas shows. Christmas in Hawaii is something that he's going in and out of. But
yes,
yesterday, November 22nd, he was in Alexandria, Virginia. Tonight,
hey,
he's in Durham, North Carolina.
Okay,
Friday, Scottsdale. Saturday, Tucson. The 29th, he's in Wickenburg, Arizona. November 30th, he's in Bakersfield. This is where he skips.
Bakersfield is, I mean, why?
It's pretty crazy. He's at the historic Bakersfield Theater. Tuesday, November 30th. Wednesday, December 1st, San Luis Obispo. December 2nd, Grass Valley, California. December 3rd, Red Bluff, California. December 4th, Eugene, Oregon. And then he's going to Eugene. He's doing all the Oregon dates. Then Washington. Then he's going to Colorado.
Here's the thing. Why skip Los Angeles if he's not planning something big for a little bit later?
You think so?
You know what I mean?
You think he's going to come back with a big show?
Why go to Bakersfield and not Los Angeles?
That is baffling.
Yeah.
I'm confused by that.
Yeah.
And I feel like you would have a huge group of people who would want to come see him out here.
Sure.
It's
very
absolutely strange. Even San Diego, I could see him saying, oh,
yep,
I'm going to go play La Jolla.
Yeah.
And then maybe Los Angeles is too big a market right now. Because I feel crazy when I look at all of his numbers on Spotify, because I'm like, this, to me, he is a legend.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't understand why people aren't obsessively listening to him like we do.
I know.
Like, I kind of think of him as like a star. Like,
absolutely,
out of our reach. But he's playing Bakersfield.
Bakersfield,
and good for
places.
Them. I'm jealous. To be clear, I'm jealous of the citizens of Bakersfield that they get him and we don't.
Yes, and that's the only thing I'm jealous of the citizens of Bakersfield for.
Absolutely. That and the Cracker Barrel in Victorville.
Yeah,
other than
we've eaten there.
Yeah. And everyone here knows that.
Yep.
And March 10th to 2022, he's coming to Turlock, California.
Oh.
The Turlock Community Theater. I don't even know where that is.
I've never heard of Turlock.
Let's see where Turlock is. I'm going to zoom way out on this map. It's inland.
It is inland. Wow,
deep,
that is
inland.
Like smack dab
between
inland.
Between Fresno and Sacramento.
Wow.
And Stockton. Oh, it's close to, well, it's close to Turlock. yeah, it's close to Modesto.
Okay.
Anyways. He's great. I can't wait to see him out here. Maybe he is planning something big. Maybe something at the bowl.
Listen, if he does a bowl show, an evening with Jake.
Yeah.
Think of all the guests.
Yeah, and I'm going broke. I'm going all in. I'm getting a box.
Get
in
a box.
$30,000.
Get in a charcuterie board.
Yeah.
Yep.
Doing the whole thing.
The whole freaking thing.
Final thoughts, Ryan, on Jake and Friends.
This is one of, if not my favorite album this year.
Wow. I agree with you.
Yes. Put like a list of the top five best albums that have come out this year. This album is for sure on it.
Hands down. Yeah. I think it's fantastic. I would say this is my favorite duets album I've ever heard.
Yeah.
I think it's like such a unique, special, incredible album.
Really, really terrific.
Huge, huge, huge deal. Put this on anytime, and yep. it's gonna give you the party you want.
It's gonna be a hit.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so we have one more song. It is, bear with me, Get Together featuring Jesse Colin Young.
That's right.
So we'll leave it there, but until next time, have a happy Thanksgiving.
Absolutely.
I'm Mayfair Marleybone.
I'm St. Charles, Tennessee.
Have a great week.
Meet you at the end. Bye-bye.
Allo.
But a song we sing, fear's the way we die. We can make the mountains ring, or make the angels cry. Though the bird is on the wing,
I'm Brian Husky. I'm bald.
And I'm Charlie Sanders, and I'm also bald. And we host Bald Talk on the Campfire Media Network.
Bald Talk is the podcast where two bald comedians talk to anyone bald about being bald.
But this show isn't just for baldies, Brian. Harrows will love it too.
Bald Talk gets into vulnerability, vanity, insecurity, and self-acceptance, reminding us that we all have our respective bald spots. Not that bald spots are a bad thing.
No way. I mean, my entire head is one big bald spot.
It is one huge, beautiful bald spot, Charlie.
Get Bald Talk on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
I mean, I have like a little bit of hair, but not like you. Like, you're really bald.
I'm truly bald.
Great. I mean, it's
I'm
great.
I'm balder than it. You.
You are balder than me.
Only on Bald Talk.
Campfire.